Welcome to Hammer Dad. Number one sports gambling podcast coming out of the Pat McAfee Incorporated offices. I am your host, Tone Diggs. The aforementioned Pat McAfee will be in here in a few minutes. Sitting next to him, the bearded wonder, the man from Canada, the one who delivers all of the trends and all of the stats and everything you need to know, Bubba Gumpino. How are you, sir?
Great, Tony. You?
Great. Good to be here. And then joining us via FaceTime on the phone, former NFL GM, host of the Lombardi Line, the GM Shuffle Pod, writes for The Athletic, and make sure you subscribe to The Daily Coach, Michael Lombardi.
Michael. Hey, gentlemen. Good day. How are we doing?
Well, you know, us and everyone else in the world got kicked in the teeth again yesterday. You know, we talked about it. I think it's about time we just start fading the public.
Yeah, I think Thomas Gable, the head of the Borgata Sportsbook, mm-hmm. he told me it was the best day they've ever had since he's opened the book up.
Seriously.
So it was the best day they ever had. I mean, the Denver pick came through like you couldn't believe. The Miami, you know, with them beating, everybody was on Miami. You know, so there's a ton of people on Jacksonville, too, believe it or not. Atlanta. Philadelphia. Yeah. The money coming in on Philly, too.
I mean, if you look at it, the Lions had 73% of the money. The Patriots had 70% of the money. The Falcons had 65%. The Bengals had 66%. The Dolphins had 78%. The Chargers had 62%. The Packers had 65%. The Vikings had 61%. And the Chiefs had 74%.
Hey, good for your friend, I guess, right? I mean,
not good for my – I wasn't happy with that. I mean, last year when I was doing good – I was always going against the public, and this year, for some reason, I've been picking with the public. That's it. I'm done with that.
Yeah, well, yeah, we're done. Space, speaking of your friends, what do you know about Tony Meatballs?
Who?
You know, I love those nicknames. Didn't you love some of those nicknames on that indictment list?
There was a RICO case in Philly, I believe, today. One of the guys who got busted was Tony Meatballs.
Oh, Tony Meatballs. Don't owe him money, okay? Don't let him need to get back from you, because the comeuppance is real with old Tony Meatballs over there.
Meatballs is trending in the United States.
There's a mafia case getting taken down right now?
Yes.
You Italians are awesome. Yes.
And Cafolo, a.k.a. Tony Meatballs. He's only age 73. There was somebody else in here who's aged 81. He didn't have – oh, I know. Carl Chinase, he's age 81. He didn't have a nickname. Can you imagine going 81 years in the mafia and not having a nickname?
No.
Some of these are so good. Cuzzy.
There's a Cuzzy out there?
Joe Electric's a good one.
The Italians are the fucking best, dude. I'm so happy you guys are all the way back right now.
Louis Sheep, Big Vic.
I mean, some Louis Sheep. I mean, you know, Joe. I mean, Joey the Toast.
Tony Meatballs.
Yeah, I was just because I mean that's around your area. I didn't know if you knew Tony Meatballs.
I mean, they're right here. You know, when they talk about like Nicky Scarfa, Skinny Joey Merlino, this whole group here, this South Philly, Southern New Jersey, this is all Atlantic City Goombas. Yeah, these are all in the neighborhood. Dom 14. You know,
Those guys were probably riding high after yesterday, and then they got boom. It all came down on them today.
I just put a tweet out that the Italians are back. Thank God. I can't wait for the people that don't know me to come after me, the Italians. Like, what? Those are not our representatives. It's like, Italians are back.
Yeah,
I would like to know, because I would assume – back in the day, whenever they had to use dial-up internet and shit like that, they were getting full conversations out of the mafia. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, they were getting full, and a lot of them are just insane. John Gotti, there's him on footage saying he's going to break somebody's neck with his bare hands. Like, there's all these things. The amount of tech that they have right now to capture video of the mobs, the audio of these mobs, potentially. I can't wait to see the movie that gets created, the documentary that gets created out of all this information. You Italians are the fucking best, dude. Just the absolute best.
When I was at the Raiders, my favorite picture was John Gotti was wearing a Raider coat walking out of the Hunter's, the Hunter's Nest there in Brooklyn, where he used to hang out. You know, that was the club, and you could see him walking down the street. He had a huge Raider jacket on. I showed it to Al Davis. He was so proud. It was like, okay, there you go. Got a Raider fan. There's John Gotti, a Raider fan.
That's awesome. God. That's awesome.
It's awesome. The Italian Tony Meatballs, dude, let's go. I need a movie about him tomorrow.
game like Tony Meatballs, you know, you probably know where the best meatballs are. You know, that's probably true.
Yeah, probably some bodies too, if I had to guess. I assume there's some potential dead bodies somewhere too, right? 70 something. He's been around a long time. He's seen a lot.
He's had a couple meatballs.
I'm so happy you guys still got your fastball.
No, we do. I mean, we just don't do it as publicly anymore. We're not rock stars anymore.
Smart, by the way. That could have been a downfall.
It was a downfall.
Tony Meatballs is a rock star, by the way. Just I'm going to let you know there's no long infamy. I mean, that is awesome.
Speaking of the Raiders, Michael, they might actually have a football team, huh?
It's a good team.
You know, I tell you what, they played really good last night. We lost that cover. When Mahomes throws that interception, uh-huh. I thought John really screwed it up. At the end of the first half, he threw three incomplete passes, and he gave them the ball back with a lot of time. And that interception right before the half cost us the cover because they're going to score there and then score to come out. Then they would have gone up 28-17, and that cover would have been – we would have been able to get the cover at that point. But that cost us the cover, that interception.
That's the middle eight that you always talk about. And, yeah, that just kind of looked like a little bit of miscommunication on the part of Mahomes and the wide receiver there.
You know what, though? The Chiefs last night kind of looked like out of it a little bit, didn't they, for early there? I kept thinking this Raiders team is for real. You know what I mean?
They must have played awful deep. I haven't watched the tape yet, but they must have lined up really deep. There are a lot of underneath throws. And, I mean, they had a ton of they were just moving the ball, but they weren't getting any big plays like you typically see the Chiefs get.
Are you worried about the Chiefs' defense at all, Mike?
Yeah, I mean, you know, 35-31. I mean, we saw the Panthers move the ball on them. But one thing about the Chiefs now, they can the Raiders gave them the ball 32 minutes last night, and the Raiders almost had a chance to win that game. That's pretty remarkable. Mm-hmm. Usually you got to keep the ball away from the Chiefs to beat them.
Pat, did Bucker almost kick a ball 100 yards on a kickoff?
Yeah, then he kicked one out of bounds too. So it was like the classic, like I put a tweet out for somebody, did something awesome, and then like 10 minutes later something terrible
That's
happens.
Been his year, kind of.
Yeah, by the way, I don't know what's – I think he hit some good balls last night. They were all kind of going to the right, which I assume they curve back. That's the ball he hits. But, yeah, he had a kickoff into this. I would assume Las Vegas has a pretty good elevation. I'm not 100% sure, but I would assume the air is pretty thin out there. It's a desert, you know what I mean? That ball, he crushed that thing. Maybe the strongest thing I've ever seen. The Chiefs, though – was there any doubt? I don't think so, right? I don't think there was a single doubt at all. It's almost like whenever Aaron got the ball with a timeout still left because the Colts threw the ball or whatever like that, in the amount of time he had, there was really no doubt that Aaron was going to be able to get them down. Now, I'd assume with the Colts defense, you had to think. Yesterday, when Patrick Mahomes got that ball with a minute 26 or whatever, or 30, whatever it was, it was almost like you knew what was going to happen. And it did. And that's why the Chiefs are the Chiefs, I guess.
You know, it was like Andy Reid said, you give me a minute and change with a timeout, I'll take that every time. But I don't think there was any – like there was something I thought the Colts could have done. Throwing that pass on third down was not a smart move.
Yeah. Definitely.
If they run it there, they have to call timeout, then he's got no timeouts. He's got to go the length of the field. But, I mean, there was nothing I thought the Raiders could do. They had a score. And they had a score, and they couldn't control when they scored.
There was an interesting situational thing happening with Aaron Rodgers yesterday. I think before the half, there might have been like a third down where he let the clock run all the way, the play clock run all the way down. It was real game management shit happening because they had a timeout. They didn't want to give the ball back. He had to play it out in real time. When do I snap this ball? Oh, we got a first down. Okay, now we got to go. It was nice watching him kind of work the whole thing with the, it's just, there's some people that are very good with game management. And then there's some people still that make bad, bad decisions. And I'm not saying that the Raiders could have done anything differently. I'm just saying there's been a lot of that this year where it's like,
I like you to ask him tomorrow if you have him on it's like, when they had the ball, with 42 seconds, no timeouts. They had it at the Colt 15. I mean, they really didn't get a true shot at the end zone, and that was rare. Huh. You know, they had a chance to win that game in regulation. I thought they were going to win it at that point.
Michael, you talked about the Colts throwing it on third down. They threw it on first down, too. Like they could have.
They did. They gave them a chance to get in the game. I mean, it was ridiculous.
Like, especially I see that against trying to go and win the game against someone else. But with Aaron Rodgers, you want to leave as little bit of time left on the clock as possible, and they did not do that at all. They, I can't believe after making those mistakes and not winning the coin toss that they won that ball game.
I did that. You can't turn the ball over.
True.
You can't have a turnover in overtime.
I'll tell you what, the first few weeks of the refs keeping the flags in their pockets are long gone, bro. My friend.
Was it 14 penalties on the Colts? 14 or something like that?
Yeah, that whole drive, they called every receiver. Of course, the receivers were tackling them. I mean, I don't know how they couldn't call them.
Yeah, they're getting a little grabby. They're getting a little grabby there.
They called that touchdown in the Dolphins game, too, on that fumble for Melvin.
Oh, that was wild. Yeah, that ball was clearly out. Wasn't I talking to you when it happened?
Yeah, you were ahead of me, and he was explaining it to me. I'm waiting for it to happen.
So he's watching on a stream, okay? So he's like 40. He's stealing it, right? I'm watching it. He's 45 seconds behind or whatever. And we're FaceTiming because, you know, like the team, like what's going on with your Dolphins? Because and that play happens, and he goes, "What?" And I go, "Something big just happened." Oh, no, it didn't, I guess, because the ref called it. Because I saw the fumble, then the ref called it. There's been some ineptitude going on with these refs, too. I mean, with the holding on the Colts thing, like, yeah, obviously there were some tackles you got to call. But that particular play wasn't even close. I mean, it wasn't even close. There was a couple other ones where it's like, come on, you guys got to be better than this. You know what I mean, at this point.
I mean, the face mask they missed on Aaron Jones.
Oh, yeah.
Like, how did they do that?
And then the replay, by the way, they tried to miss it too. They're like, did he grab any? I think it's
yeah.
The rule changed years ago where it's like anything in the head, it doesn't have to grasp anything. You know what I mean? I think if you smack somebody in the mouth, it is a penalty if you're on the defensive side. But on the offense, fucking go for it.
Oh, yeah, you can do whatever you want.
Go for it, dude.
I was thinking while we were just talking and how we didn't have a great weekend, is there one bet from each of you that you were like, that I regret that one? Michael, can I take a guess? Is it the Eagles?
Well, I mean, I regretted the Eagles one. I thought too much into that. I thought they would turn it around, and all the numbers said Philly. But I think the other one was Miami because I thought that looked too easy. I said on my show Sunday morning, you know, there's something that just looks too easy. Like that line should be longer than that, and it was just too easy.
I never take my own teams. I'm with you, Mike.
Yeah, you did, though.
I did. You did.
76% of the country did.
When they in the issue with the Dolphins yesterday, not only the offense, but they gave up almost 200 yards on the ground yesterday to
Melvin Gordon and Philly. Lindsay looked really good. Locke looked good too yesterday.
Yeah, Locke did.
Yeah, I mean, and he looked so bad the week before. I mean, I guess that one. You know, I mean that those are the two that I would, you know, because. That just didn't make any sense. That line was – it looked too easy to play. And then the one thing we definitely should do is whatever the contest top picks are, go against them because they don't win. Five.
Hold on. Now, Lombardi, though, this is the issue with this whole thing here. If it looks too easy and we don't take it and it hits, how dumb are we going to feel?
Yeah,
how?
I know, but I'd rather be on the side of the book than on the side of the public.
I regret not taking the Panthers as well. It shouldn't have mattered that Teddy wasn't playing or not. They are a good coach team, and I think they are a very good team.
You know, if you're going to play a backup quarterback, the Lions are the team you want to play.
That's true. 1,000%. I was
the Cincinnati one is one that I'm obviously not happy about. It
Cincy was the better team when Joe Burrow was in that ball game. Well, they shot themselves in the foot.
They killed the Super Boost. Killed the Super Boost. It was the Super Boost would have hit. They leave 7 points on the board. 2 missed field goals. Now, granted, one of them was like a 60-yarder or whatever. 2 missed field goals and an extra point. Joey Burrow goes down. I mean, that was the one where
he fumbled on the one.
Yeah. It was tough.
We should have been all over the Steelers because we knew that the rookie quarterback against the Steeler defense wasn't going to score. I mean, we really should have been all over the Steelers.
That was only
that was too easy to think about. The Steelers pass rush versus a rookie quarterback, how are they going to score?
That's self-scout right there.
That was only the second time Mike Tomlin's covered as a double-digit favorite on the road in his career. He was 1-9 going into that.
Yeah, that's why I wouldn't have recommended that one just because of that. But
get a rookie quarterback against a really good pass rush with no skill players and a bad team. Yeah. You probably are going to be 90% to take that bet.
Yeah, but this is all hindsight here.
Jake the Snake was cooking going into that game,
bro. Jake the Snake was a problem down there. He got rid of Nick Foles because how good Jake the Snake was.
I mean, I agree with you, but look at on my sheet, I had Pittsburgh should have been a 15-point favorite.
See, that's a piece of information that would have been good.
Like that's just stupid.
The one that pissed me off, if you would have told me before the game, hey, Kirk Cousins isn't going to turn the ball over. He's going to throw for over 300 yards. Dalvin Cook's going to throw for over 100 yards.
Thielen. Kirk Cousins going to try and get Dalvin Cook killed.
Thielen's going to have two touchdowns. Like, do you want the Vikings still at -7? I would have fucking jumped all over that. But somehow, Cowboys win. Vikings couldn't stop them.
Cowboys, Jets, and Texans were a combined 422-1 against the spread going into yesterday, and they all covered.
Jeez.
Yeah.
You just can't have that.
That's good for the book. That's good day for the book.
But we're going to bounce back.
Hey, we are, aren't we, Coach?
That's right, we will.
Hey, what's the Daily Coach saying this morning? Hey, you might get punched right in a suck hole, but every once in a while it's those shots that show the true grit of a man.
Today's Daily Coach was, I think you should have a list of people that are in your life that have made an impact on your life that you should write a thank you note to at some point during the year. Like, there's always, like, for me, the Harvey Hyde, a coach from UNLV, or John McVay, Sean McVay's grandfather, who impacted my life when I was at the 49ers. I think there should be a list of how many people that impact your life. You should always write them a note and thank them.
Golly.
That's the Daily Coach today.
Does a Christmas card count?
See, I think Christmas cards are great, but I think in July or August or October, when somebody gets a note of appreciation and it's not Christmas, it means more.
I 1,000% agree.
Loyalty.
That's a very nice thing to do.
Means a lot.
Daily Coach makes you a better person.
Is that what it is? And by the way, who always is that your thing, the Daily Coach?
It's me, Coach Raveling, and Alec, and come on. We have four people that do it. We all write. Coach Rav writes on Friday. I write Monday through Thursday to Wednesday. Kamadi writes Thursdays. So we all kind of mix it up, and we all have different ideas. And then we edit it. They edit it. And so, yeah, it's the theme. But I think, to me, with Thanksgiving, I think that why not send Thanksgiving cards out as opposed to Christmas cards? Thank people.
Yeah. The Daily Coach right there. I can subscribe to that, Hal.
Just sign up. Go to thedailycoach.substack.com.
Jesus, we got to fix that. Get that thing down. Get ready.
You can Google it. It's easy. I did it.
Substack?
No, if you just Google The Daily Coach, it pops up.
I can't wait to wake up with you gentlemen every single day. Does it come every day?
Every morning.
Let's go. Tomorrow,
I wrote about, there's a great story about you, Ben Bradley, the former editor of The Washington Post. When he was later in life, he was living in downtown D.C. in a townhouse, and he used to go into his office library, and he'd see this cardinal there. And the cardinal was there so much, he nicknamed the cardinal Buddy, and he told his wife Sally Quinn and his son Quinn about the cardinal. So then when he died, they went down to the family summer vacation farm down in the Maryland Eastern Shore, and little did that, there's a cardinal sitting there on the ledge of the kitchen when they got in there. And then when they went back to D.C., this cardinal kind of showed him around. And the cardinal's a symbol of hope and basically overcoming dark periods. So it's kind of an interesting.
Oh, shit. Hey, I'm signing up right. I guess I don't need tomorrow, so save it. But I
wrote it better than I explained it, I promise you.
Well, I can't wait. I just subscribed.
Michael, speaking of subscribing and making a better person, and speaking of some good people, what did you think of Vrabel and Harbaugh?
Awesome.
I thought it was, look, I mean, Vrabel's a tough guy. I mean, he wants his team to play tough. He knew he needed to play with an edge, and I think that they came in there and they made a statement. Now, both coaches said after the game they shook hands. I don't know if that's true.
Didn't look like
but it. I think Harbaugh's team, which used to be really tough, I think you could say they're not as tough as they once were.
You know, it's interesting. It's like when Andy Dalton got his head taken off in the middle of the game and none of his teammates kind of backed him up. I think you could say the same type of thing there whenever Harbaugh had to handle the field thing.
Yeah. Now, where was the team? Like, why weren't they out there?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I don't know. By the way, not that I would have done anything and I would have got killed. I feel like that's something where you have to kind of show up for your guy there if he's going
I think it's surprising. It's even more surprising knowing the Ravens and the Ravens organization and how they approach the field and things like that.
The Titans players probably thought there was a skirmish coming there. Like they were that was probably like the mindset was there's probably going to be something here with the team. Like let's set the tone. And then instead it's Harbaugh out there yelling at people and it's like Vrabel was probably okay, go coach your team better to come fight for themselves, kind of almost. It was an interesting situation, but I loved it. I loved every single second of it. Both sides. I enjoy what's going on there.
This is a good lead-in. I wanted to talk about them. I want to talk about the Thursday games a little bit before we go to tonight. So Ravens are currently getting 4 points at the Steelers on Thursday night on NBC. They just announced that Dobbins and Mark Ingram will be out because of COVID. Who knows who else will be out because of contact tracing. Michael, what do you think about that one early?
Okay, so this game was before it was 3.5, right, the last time?
Yeah.
I'm looking at week 8, it was a 3.5 game, and but Baltimore was favored by 3.5 in the game. I had it as Pittsburgh should have been a 1.8 favorite, and, you know, now it's completely flipped almost, I don't know if it's home field or not. But the way Baltimore's playing right now, offensively and defensively, I have a hard time thinking they're going to play good enough to beat them.
Especially, who knows with contact tracing, if it's not just J.K., who had a good game, by the way. Mm-hmm. He got it.
He's been impressive.
Yeah, he has. He played his best game to date yesterday, even though they lost, obviously. But he was wanting more plays. They said that he was pissed that he was coming out, and they started putting him in more. Mark Ingram, obviously, has been, when he's healthy, very great for them. But the contact tracing is going to be bigger than that, right? I mean, it's got to be. If it's those two, and that's unless they – are they roommates? I'm not 100% sure. I assume there's going to be more that are going to probably
be out. If it's just those two, I don't think it's going to be too bad. I mean, obviously, it sucks for them. But Gus Edwards is a very good backup running back. And in that offense, I feel like those guys are just downhill, and they're hitting downhill. But, I mean, if that goes to fullback, if that goes to offensive line, I mean, that's disastrous for them.
Problematic.
Gump, you got anything on this game, pal?
No, I'm on the Steelers. Heavy.
Heavy, heavy.
You're not the only one. 90% of the money right now.
Oh, no. What was our rule?
I can't do this shit.
What was our rule?
Texans -2 at Detroit, too, looks good as well.
You know everybody's going to play the Texans. You know that. I mean, there's rumors in Detroit I mean, you lose to a backup quarterback and get shut out. Here's the funny. We said this on the pod last week. In the last 5 games, the Panthers had only forced 2 punts. I mean, and they shut out the Detroit Lions. I mean, think about it.
P.J. Walker threw 2 interceptions in the end zone, too. Like, that score could have been a lot worse.
It could have been, yeah.
Yeah, not surprising there. 75% of the money is on the Texans for that game. I told Gumpy earlier, you want to go against the Lions on Thanksgiving, you dig your own grave, pal.
Okay, I have a question for you, though. What's the rumors you're hearing in Detroit? They're getting rid of everybody? Selling the team?
I don't know. I don't think – no, not that. I think that Matt's – I think the Patricia era, I mean, I think if he doesn't win – Thursday or the week after – I think it's coming to an end. I think the patience level is probably not very good up there.
There's no David Blau walking through the door this Thanksgiving.
Yeah, no David Blau walking through that door, no.
And then the third game that day.
He was electric.
He was. The third game, Thanksgiving, the 4:30 game, always at Dallas, is for the division. It's the Washington football team at the Cowboys. Washington opened as +1. They're already up to +3. Even though most of the money is on the Washington football team, so that's interesting. Something interesting there.
Like that.
I got the line. The line's going to go to Dallas 3.5, right? Is that what you – what do you have the line at right now?
I currently have the line at 3 for the Cowboys, and the juice is 108. So as of right now, it's hanging there, but I wouldn't be surprised if it goes to 3.
I mean, considering how they got dominated in the last game, but you know this could be a payback for the Andy Dalton hit.
Favorites on Thanksgiving since 2003, 31-13 against the spread. 70%.
Oh, big favorite day. Ooh. Is that because it's a short week? Does a short week favor the better team, you would think? Or the home team?
I would assume the home team, definitely, right? I mean, that definitely helps you. We played on Thanksgiving, obviously. Everybody remembers highest passer rating of all time.
Yeah.
My lady was able to come down. We hung out during the day, at least. You know what I mean? On Thanksgiving. Just little things like that, you know, little tiny things like that. Now you go back to hotel, obviously. You got meetings, everything like that, all the bullshit. Yeah, button right. Got it. All right. Left. See you later. Doing the whole thing. But the short week, I think, would favor the veteran quarterback, I feel like, is probably the person you should look at there. Is that Andy Dalton? Is that, I mean, who knows? I mean, or Alex Smith. I mean, that could be a good game. Could be a really good game.
In the bye week, did they realize, hey, like, running Zeke might be a good idea?
Yeah, maybe, you know, and then Pollard came in with that great run he had. I mean, Dalton, you know, Dalton, what do we say? Dalton's won 81 games in the NFL. I mean, it's like, seriously, like, he's not like a, or started 81 games in the NFL. It's not like he doesn't know how to play.
He looked good yesterday. He made a couple throws on fourth down that last drive, fourth and six. He made a great ball.
They also moved Zach Martin, I believe, out to right tackle to help secure some things.
Moved him out to right tackle. That really helped a lot.
The internet
kind of settled him down a little bit.
The internet in Dallas wanted Gary Gilbert instead of Andy. I wonder if that conversation has ceased since then.
Well, and then the Cowboys put up a fight against the Steelers, too. So you have to think maybe the Cowboys are playing decent football right now.
Yeah, I mean, you would think that they – and they look at the schedule compared to Philly and Dallas. Who's going to win the East? The
Philly schedule.
Got, I think they've got they got a tough game against Baltimore. They've got San Francisco. They've got, I think, Cincinnati still left to play. And then they've got Philly and Washington left to play. I mean, Philly and New York left to play. So they could get this eight wins if they just win, I think, four of the next five.
To your point, Michael, according to this, Philadelphia has the fifth hardest schedule, and Dallas has the 31st hardest schedule. They play the Ravens. And then after that, it's the Bengals, the Washington football team, the Giants, the Eagles, and the Niners. So technically, those are all winning games or winnable games.
What would you do if you were GM of the Eagles right now, Mike?
Well, I mean, look, I think it's broken in a lot of areas. I think the offense is horrendous. I would urge Doug Peterson to establish an identity. You know, we can't – this guy's a turnover machine, and I know you want to go with analytics, and I understand you want to throw the football, but we got to cut down how many times – we're losing games. The other team's not winning. So we need to get in some formations where he's under center, we're handing the ball off, we're limiting our exposure, our offensive tackles aren't on an edge, we can control the pace of the game, we can run the football more effectively, we're averaging over 6 yards a carry running the football in the last 5 weeks. Let's try to run the ball, play field position, hit some play action passes down the field, but let's not make this guy be in shotgun all the time and kill us and turn the ball over. I mean, they ran the ball down the field, the opening, that second drive or what it was, and Miles Sanders fumbled. The next drive, they come out and they just throw the ball until they throw the interception.
Pick six.
It was ridiculous. And so I would urge him to get an identity. Let's try to figure out how we can avoid losing. We're not going to turn this ball over. We're going to make some plays down the field, hard play action, and forget about this read option game that we just can't execute very well.
It's interesting because as I'm listening to you do that, is that a normal conversation that a general manager and a head coach have?
I don't think so, no, because coaches are like doctors. You can't criticize them. You know, you ever hear no doctor criticizes another doctor, you know? And they feel like they're guessing. When that's a philosophical conversation, like you could say Matt LaFleur's play call without Aaron Jones in the game against the Colts might have been a really bad call. And I thought it really was. He said, we were surprised Devontae Adams got doubled. Well, he was the only receiver in the game. He was going to get doubled. So, I mean, now you're picking on the play call. What that conversation was more about was philosophical. Look, Doug, we're losing games. This quarterback, until we can get him to not turn the ball over, we're not going to be very good. We're not going to beat anybody. We're not going to beat Cleveland. We're not going to beat we're not going to beat anybody we have left. So let's get an identity. I know it's not what you want to be, but it's what we are right now. I think somebody has to see the big picture.
Now, is that something in Cincinnati? Like, I think we all knew that Joe Burrow was going to get hurt at some point this year.
We all knew that, didn't we?
Yeah,
we all knew.
We talked about it. I think we all talked about it, by the way. Is that something, for instance, Joe Burrow potentially plays in a style where he is going to get hurt because he extends plays, he never says quit, much like Andrew Luck did, by the way, and I got a chance to see that. But isn't there a way that somebody could have came in and said, we got to start running the ball? He had the most pass attempts in the NFL still has the most pass attempts in the NFL. I assume he's been sacked the most third most in the NFL. It's just
been hit the most.
At most hits, probably. At some point, doesn't somebody have to have that conversation, though, too? Or
you have to. To me, it's not that hard. Look, Zach Taylor, look, we got two tackles that are not very good. Our guards are horrible. If we don't cover up the tackles and give them help and chip, I know you want to get five in a route. I know that looks good on a blackboard, but the quarterback's going to get killed. We're not going to have a quarterback. You're not going to be the coach here, and he's not going to play here. So either we start thinking protection first before route distribution. Look, I want to get five out all the time. I want to be like Patrick Mahomes and have five guys getting out, but we're going to get them killed. Like, let's do what's in the best interest of our football team, not what's in the best interest of the blackboard.
It's very interesting, man, because you know, a lot of people, the good thing about Joe Burrow is how tough he is. You know, like, he had an ACL and MCL and structural damage. You couldn't even tell why he was getting carted off, right? I think whatever he tweeted, see you next year or whatever, there were some people that were saying, oh, well, it is something because of how he was going off there. Like, incredibly tough dude. They say that he likes taking a hit. It kind of wakes him up or whatever. But, man, after what just happened with Andrew Luck, you literally just saw it happen, and he was the same way. At some point, somebody's got to be like, let's get the ball. Let's maybe quick game this thing. Let's figure this out just to protect him, because you're not going to – hey, in the AFC North, they're not going to go this year. Okay, it's not going to happen. I'm not saying you just quit because you drafted a guy to play football, but at some point, I feel like somebody's got to.
And you know what, Pat? It can't be we just need a better right tackle. We need a better right guard. It can't be that's the problem. The problem is philosophical in nature, is if we don't change what we're doing, then the guy's going to get hurt no matter if we draft somebody in the first round. And like lock everybody. We're not going to get five out. Like, let's take baby steps. Let's get good before we get great. And yeah, I know Zach Taylor, it looks great on a blackboard, but we can't execute it. We can't execute it. So what's the good sense of it? It's a multi-billion-dollar corporation, and we're going to let some guy make decisions that are going to impact the corporation's value? That doesn't make any sense.
And what kills me about him is he's a McVay guy, right? McVay's not a let's get five guys. McVay's a let's establish a run, let's go play action, stuff like that. So being from that coaching tree, it surprised me a little bit that Zach Taylor doesn't do any of that stuff.
No doubt. I mean, it's the same thing why Doug Peterson. I mean, he hires the coach from McVay, that Rich, I don't know how to say his last name, who was at Denver, got fired, and they said all this offseason, we're going to run more of the Rams stuff. We want to be more of a play-action pass team. Well, the Rams are outside zone, hard play-action boots. You never see the Eagles run that stuff. Eagles are in shotgun run and read option the whole time.
They got outside of the pocket one time to throw the ball yesterday. It was an 8-yard completion.
Smart.
I mean, here's how it works. Just watch the Browns. Baker Mayfield is a little bit better than Case Keenum. Not a lot, a little bit.
Jesus.
Right? Case Keenum went to a conference championship game, so I'm not killing Case Keenum here. Baker Mayfield has to play within a structure. The Browns basically said, here's the structure that fits Baker Mayfield. We can't have him drop back 60 times. He's not great in the shotgun when you pressure him inside. That's how you win football games, is when the personnel and the scheme come together. You can't do what we're doing. This is why teams lose all the time.
Why? Is that too much pride, ego, whatever?
Yeah, because there's nobody in the front office is going to sit there and say to the coach, you know, like you got to marry the two together. You got to see what your team is and then do what's best for your team that year. And there's so many coaches, well, this is what I do. Well, I mean, if you want to leave the edges open, then we're not going to have a quarterback. It's a multi-billion-dollar company. We're letting some middle-level manager determine our success rate. It doesn't make any sense.
That's such a good way to view it, because that's exactly what it is.
Yeah, it is. All right.
But say that you're second-guessing, and then you're a bad guy because you're second-guessing. You're getting in the way with coaching. No, it's a philosophical conversation. It's not, I want to run this play or that play. I want to do what's best for the players that we have and then figure it out.
Hey, well said. Well said. Before we get to tonight's game, real quickly, John Harbaugh said the only other person who is going to miss Thursday night's game is Brandon Williams, who's the nose tackle, which Calais Campbell's already out. So not a small.
Are you betting on the Steelers?
No.
What?
Absolutely not.
Is that what he said?
He said that coming in.
You would bet on the Steelers.
He said if more than two guys are out for the Ravens, he's going to bet on the Steelers.
So we're betting on the Steelers. Let's go. That's your first bet for the week.
I'm not. Don't put that.
I am.
All right. So tonight, it's the Rams. It's at Tampa Bay. The line is still 4.5. Michael, we'll start with you.
You know, I think I had this as a 2.37 game. I thought the Rams have played well the last 2 weeks. I'm still picking the Bucs. I think they've been embarrassed. I think the Whitworth injury, which isn't in this number, is going to be significant. The left tackle, and you saw the Rams go into their foxhole when he got hurt against the Seattle team. I think Todd Bowles will pressure Goff. I think it'll make it really hard on Goff to throw the ball. Plus, I think Brady's going to play well, and I think he'll attack this. Brady's perfect for what he wants to do. He knows how to play against this scheme, the Vic Fangio scheme. He's played it many times before. He'll understand that take the profits is a good thing in this. You got to take the profits. Like, we'll throw it for 4 yards, take profits. Don't try to force the ball somewhere it's not. And I think based on how poorly they played the last time we saw them on national TV, I think the Bucs will play much better.
Oh, I love that.
Like that.
You're speaking right to what I love. And also, our poll earlier on the show had the people saying pick the Rams. So not only are the people on the Rams, but also for everything you just said, the boys have been practicing at night. Okay, BA changed up the schedule because their primetime performances have not been fantastic. I just like, and but this has bit me in the ass before. I like Tom Brady and the Buccaneers -4.5. And I like the under as well this evening. I don't know if Tone's going to join me, but the only reason why I'm saying that is because it was the lowest on the poll of what we should bet tonight. And I feel like with the way the books have been running here the last couple of weeks, if you're on the side of the book that much, I'm going to stay. I'm going with the under. Tampa Bay -4.5. AQ Shipley will remain an undefeated starting center for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
I am going to go the under.
Attaboy, Tone. What is it?
48.5.
That big, Tone.
71% of the money's on the over, by the way.
Great news.
I said on my show today on VSiN, I like the under. I think this will be a game where Brady's going to control the pace. And I think that Sean McVay wants to control the pace, too. I don't think they want to get into it. Look, I think Sean McVay knows he's not – the more he throws – if this is a 50-pass game for Goff, he's losing.
They only put up 20 points on a bad Seahawks defense.
Well, in both of the – DVOA, they're both top 10 defenses. The Rams' rushing attack is number 15, Tampa Bay number 1 against the run. The Rams' passing, number 10, Tampa Bay's against the pass is number 5. On the other side, Tampa Bay is number 18 yards per rush. The Rams are number 10. And then Tampa Bay is number 20 in yards per pass. The Rams are number 1 against the pass. So all those statistical categories, the defense is better, which also made me want to take the Rams just getting a points in a low-scoring game. But I'm not going to. I'm just going to take the under because you guys are taking the Bucks, so you scared me out of the Rams. But I'm going to take the under.
All right. Gumpy. Hey. Good bet.
Gumpy. Gumpy, what do you got?
What are the records for the weekend?
Not good.
How many should
we don't want to go there?
Yeah.
No.
We're not even talking about it? Am I just going to keep this?
Yeah.
Still keep it. Me and you are the only ones with.
you throw out those soccer pick stats there, man.
Oh, but we do. Mitt, I owe you a ring for winning.
Look at this guy. 9-1 in his soccer picks.
Attaboy.
This past weekend.
What are you on tonight on football?
Tom Brady since 2003 on Monday Night Football is a favorite, 11-6-1 against the spread.
Boom.
As a favorite of 7 or fewer, 6-1-1 against the spread.
Boom, bang.
Rams 6-13-1, their last 20 as a dog. 3-7-1, their last 11 against the spread on Monday night.
Boom.
Under his hit in last 6 Rams games.
Bang.
Under his hit in Rams last 5 versus NFC.
Boom.
Rams 7-2 to the under this year. Give me the Bucs. Give me the under.
Let's go.
Okay. All right, boys.
Why are we doing this again? A lot of groupthink here. Now, it has not worked out for us until today. Today's when it all comes back around.
Michael, we will talk to you on Wednesday this week.
Wednesday. All right, guys. Thank you.
Hey, thank you,
Paisan.
Hey, the Italians are back. Grazie. Okay. Tony Meatballs, dude.
See you, pal.
Tony Meatballs.
I mean, that was the quickest. When I saw that pop up, brother, it was the quickest Twitter name change I've ever had.
Are you Tony Meatballs right now? Yeah. Smart. Shout out to the Italians, dude. I thought they were doing nothing.
Listen, we're just more in the shadows than we used to be.
A lot of PS5s.
We can't thank you guys enough for.
I completely forgot.
By the way, Big Sale Friday still going on.
Big Sale Friday sale.
Big Sale Friday sale still going on today on Monday. 20% off the entire store.
And Tuesday it's going on.
It's going to go on Tuesday too.
Yeah, Big Sale Friday sale.
Tuesday. When's that? When does it end?
Yeah, not sure we've decided. Probably Big Sale Friday coming up.
But if you buy something during Big Sale Friday sale, you get entered in to win one of 3 PlayStation 5s.
Oh, which, by the way, awesome.
Quite a thing.
But it should be... the Big Sale Friday sale.
The Big Sale Friday sale.
So, like, for instance, there's a Friday coming up, okay? Don't love the name of it.
No, it's not our sale.
Not our sale. So, Friday, last Friday was Big Sale Friday. Like, that was the name of the day. And since it's Big Sale Friday, we have a Big Sale Friday sale.
Smart.
So, it's the Big Sale Friday sale.
Big Sale Friday.
A lot of people have asked me a lot of questions about how come the Big Sale Friday sale is going on Monday. It's like, well, it's named after the Friday.
Correct.
That was last Friday, and it's still going through probably this upcoming Friday.
You get it.
Yeah, it's big sale Friday sale.
Listen, thanks for sticking with us during these tough times, by the way.
We stink, dude.
I mean, not everybody
What are
has.
The records? What are the records? Jesus Christ, dude.
The bloodbath.
Pat, you're still great on the year, pal.
You're goddamn right. I'm done with the tweets telling me I've lost them money. I have not. Thank you very much.
By the way, and all of us have put out multiple winning parlays. So, I mean, if we're going units.
Can we go back to that thing?
Yeah.
Boys, I'm very close to 500. We're all right. Gump, Jesus, what a sweep. Remember Gump said he was gonna step into that box as much as possible to swing that thing?
Hey, did we ever get you a new hammer? Because it's been bad since that thing fucking broke.
You're right, isn't it? You're right. You're right.
The ring did drop on the floor, too.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it was right before.
we're going to burn some sage in over here.
We do need sage.
We need sage.
Yeah, get the bad spirits out of here.
All right, can't thank you guys enough. We'll see you Wednesday. It'll probably be earlier than normal, I think.
Let's turn around this whole thing.
Turn it around. Hammer.
Don.